If they were to ride the Invisible Hand's wake to the surface, first they had to reach her. That meant threading a path among the countless frigates and gunboats that stood in the way, dodging the fighters that continued to spill from the bellies of the KDY carriers and the curving arms of the Nemoidian's behemoth Lucre hulks, and avoiding the turbolaser fire that crosshatched near space. But they didn't doubt for a moment that the YT was up to the task. The ship had never let them down, and there was no reason to think she would fail them now. An unknown quantity to the friend or foe interrogators of the warships they streaked past, the YT became a target of opportunity for one and all. Absent weapons of their own, Jadak and Reese had to rely on the freighter's remarkable speed and near preternatural agility. They pushed the ship for all she was worth, corkscrewing through churning clouds of fighter dogfights and executing twists and turns better left to Jedi interceptors than 40-year-old light freighters, even one as upgraded and enhanced as the YT was. Power that wasn't being consumed by the YT's sublight engine was being gobbled up by the deflector shields, taxed by each glancing bolt the ship sustained. Leaping out from behind one of Coruscant's crazed orbital mirrors, they raced to fall in behind the flaming, deteriorating hulk the Separatist flagship had become. Her blunt bow dipped toward Coruscant in a gesture of surrender, a blade of shield glowing red hot and sloughing pieces of armor like a Monar serpent shedding scales.
"Cruiser's escape pods are away," Rhys said.
Jadak magnified the forward view of the ship. Hands vised on the yoke as the YT slalomed through a fragment cloud of parts and components. Jadak watched in awe as the warship altered vector for the planet's governmental district. The Invisible Hand was falling, to be sure, but it was clear that someone still had the helm and was determined to guide the vessel in by deploying the drag fins and using the exterior hatches as needed to keep the ship from burning up in the atmosphere.
"Skywalker?" Reese said.
"I doubt it's Palpatine. Unless he's got talents he hasn't revealed."
Hundreds of warships too large to be annihilated by Coruscant's artillery and rocketry had penetrated the umbrella and cratered the urbanscape. But it was obvious that the standoff gunnery crews had been ordered to allow the Invisible Hand through, which in turn upped the YT's chances of making planetfall. All they had to do was remain close enough to the ship not to be spotted, but far enough from it not to be incinerated. Jadak had his hand on the throttle when the entire aft portion of the Invisible Hand tumbled away in a mass of flaming wreckage. Only Reese's last moment evasive actions kept the YT from being atomized. Just as quickly, Jadak brought the freighter up on her side and barrel rolled out of harm's way. But the hail of debris that slammed into the shields was worse than anything they had flown through earlier, and the deflectors might as well have yowled for all the alert tones the instrument panel issued. Without warning, the YT veered sharply. Only the co-pilot chair's safety harness kept Reese from landing in Jeddak's lap. Status indicators flashed on the console, and another chorus of alarms filled the cockpit.
"Port braking thruster's taken a bad hit,"
Jeddak said as he brought the YT back on course.
"We'll check it out when we set down."
Reese snugged the harness.
"The eternal optimist."
"Someone in this cockpit's gotta be."
With half of the warship's mass lost to space, whoever had the controls was managing to keep the truncated forward portion on track for a controlled crash, probably on one of the old hardened landing strips in the government district. Repulsors howling, the YT continued to follow it down, shedding altitude and velocity. But with only 20 kilometers to go, icons began to paint the threat screen and proximity alarms wailed. Jadak saw flights of ships screaming up the well to render aid to the Invisible Hand.
"Fire ships," Reese said. "Couple of clone fighters, too."
"Time to make ourselves scarce."
"We've got that authorization code."
"Better save it for when we really need it. Switch us over to terrain following."
"Quick circumnavigation?"
"No time for that."
Jadak consulted the topographic display, then banked out of the warship's wake. Main thrusters protesting, and intense waves of heat assaulting them. Two of the clone fighters gave chase, but ultimately peeled away to rejoin the Invisible Hand, which was fast approaching the landing strip. The YT slewed west over the spaceport tower and the Jedi Temple, then out over the works, through columns of oily black smoke billowing from crash craters and fires that had spread into some of the outlying districts.
"Looks like the alien sectors took the brunt of it,"
Reese said.
A lot of folks have been trying to get rid of those slums for decades.
Grievous in league with the urban renewal lobbyists?
Why not?
Jadak had never seen the striated air lanes so empty. But in among the emergency vehicles and police cruisers were clone-piloted ARC-170s on the prowl for intruders until martial law was lifted. In the time it took to bring the YT about, several of the fighters had taken an interest in the freighter.
About 20 gun emplacements have us in target lock,
Reese said. Open the comm.
YT-1300,
someone said over the subspace comm.
Identify yourself and state your destination.
Stellar Envoy out of Raltir, Jadak said toward the microphone. Destination is the Senate Annex.
The Senate is restricted airspace. If you have an authorization code, transmit it now or turn about. Failure to comply will be met with lethal force.
Jadak nodded to Reese. Go ahead. Reese swiveled in his chair and punched a code into the comm board.
Transmitting authorization.
Stellar Envoy,
the same voice said a moment later.
You're cleared for the Senate building.